Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now we are continuing our beginner's guide to some of the very best musical acts in the world. We're taking some of the most famous singers and bands and hopefully giving you a bit of a new insight into their career. And just a few weeks ago we had Blur, so we simply can't leave out their Britpop arch rivals. Simon Marr, founder of 8radio.com. You'd happily just sit here and listen to Oasis clips now for the next 15
minutes,
wouldn't you?
Absolutely, yeah. There was a time when Oasis were definitely in the top two or three rock and roll bands in the world, you know, and that was the period, and they managed to do that. There's a lot of people do it for one album or maybe do it for a year, but they managed to probably get 5-6 good years out of it, and that's pretty impressive.
Now, I've just touched on the battle between the two, the Blur and the Oasis thing, but Oasis really were rock and roll, weren't they?
They were. I think they had that. There's always been a debate as to whether you can really ever be Southern in Britain and be properly rock and roll, or are you just too soft?
Nice gentlemen in and around London, as opposed
absolutely.
To the lads.
Yeah, so these are northern working class band, and so many bands that have come out of that part. When you think about the Smiths and you think about the lads and all of those bands, and they have a sort of a more gritty rock and roll feel to them. So I think Oasis appealed to that part of people's sensibilities. Mm-hmm.
And of course, we're all fascinated about the relationship between the two brothers in the band. And it's always been tetchy and not quite settled.
Yeah, completely so. And I think there's been a lot of talk, and it was always played up, obviously enough, to get column inches or to get them on the radio or the telly or whatever it is, the rows between them. But I think that sort of sibling rivalry was always, always there. And even when Noel came back and joined the band, because Liam had put the core of the band together as a band called Rain, and then Noel came back and they were rowing away, but Liam knew that he needed Noel. And what he did, when Noel came in, he said, "I need to be in charge." He said, "You're far too much of a whatever, you know, so I need to be in charge here." So he took complete charge of the band. He had rights over everything, you know, what songs went on what albums, what gigs they went with, who managed everything.
So when you say completely in charge, are you talking about the business end or the creative
everything.
End?
Everything. It was literally, look, I have to be the boss here, because he knew that because of the dynamic that they had, just as brothers.
He was the George Michael of Oasis. Oh. I watched the documentary at the weekend. That's why it's front of mind.
Yeah, no, but he felt he had to be, you know, and even still then, quite quickly, they started to fall out. And there was numerous rows, even in the very, very early days. The band almost didn't make it to the first album. They were at that level. And I think it was only then by kind of, I suppose, the drive of Noel and said, "Look, Liam, and look, everybody else, we can be a massively successful band, but we got to do it my way."
Let's hear a bit more now. They burst onto the scene with Definitely Maybe in 1994. Let's have a listen. Rock and roll star from Definitely Maybe. That was a powerful debut album, to put it mildly.
Oh, it was huge. It was huge. Like, they had released two or three singles in the run-up to that. And they had done, and one thing that they did that an awful lot of bands, probably at the time, didn't do, they did the hard yards. You know, they went, they did the tour, they did the promo, they went, they spent a lot of time in studio. You know, they put a lot of work into the singles. And then when they released Definitely Maybe, I think it became the fastest selling debut album of all time, because they had built up this. But in fairness to them, it wasn't just built on hype, it was built on songs, you know, and that's something that probably is quite different to the way an awful lot of music is these days, but that's what they did.
This next one now, I think, is one of your favourites from Definitely Maybe, if not your favourite, Slide Away.
I love Slide Away. Now that's your mind. Let me be the one who shines with you.
People in Ireland love Oasis, don't they?
People in Ireland are mad for Oasis. And Noel, when he wrote his autobiography, you know, he talked about the special relationship they had with Ireland. Obviously enough, both their mom and their dad are Irish, and he's very, very close to his mom Peggy, and they're from Mayo. But lots of the other band members as well. Bonehead's mom is from Swinford, who's literally just down the road. So they've had that connection as well, and they've always said there's no way they would have been the band they were without the Irish influence. Mm-hmm. You know, is that they're very much working class Mancunian. You know, they're all
Summers
about Manchester.
Summers in Ireland and hurling and all of that.
Exactly, yeah. But loved all of that. And they said there's always been a special relationship. And even when they come to Ireland, and Noel with his solo act is coming to Ireland now in August. And he said that's going to be his favourite gig of the tour as well. So that connection is always, always there.
Yeah, and I suppose the fighting with the siblings and not hiding it and all. We love all that, don't we?
We do.
Yeah.
See, the drama's great. The drama's always going to be good. And it's the drama's one of the things that probably sustained them. But when the drama was there, but almost as a companion to the music, that was fine. But the problem that they eventually ran into was that the drama started to overtake
the
music.
It did. Not at this stage, though, because I'm going to 1995 now. They achieved peak popularity with the album What's the Story, Morning Glory. Let's take a listen to this from that album. Definitely better than Blur's Country House.
Oh, without question.
There's no question.
Without
question.
Look, and when it comes to the Blur versus Oasis thing, when Alan Corr was on, when he was talking about Blur, I'd be the same. I'm a Blur, but definitely in that battle. And I was in London at the time, and I remember going in and rushing into to Terror Records and Piccadilly to make sure that I could get the singles on the same day. But after about 2 weeks of listening to them, you kind of go, this is far, far better than Country House ever was. And in fairness to Blur, they went on, I think they played their Wembley gig last weekend, but it would be very, very rare in the last 25 years that they would have played Country House. They do not regard it as
one of
their
finest. They don't
like
it themselves.
Not necessarily, not so much. Whereas Roll With It is a genuinely, like a cracking single.
Now, before we hear our next clip, you want to hear Champagne Supernova. Why?
I tell you, because Oasis, there's very much heart on their sleeves. You know, they never made any apologies that they wanted to sound like the Beatles. They wanted a bit of the Who in there. They loved Paul Weller and the Jam. So all of those things were always there, but they knew all about melody. You know, and that was the big thing that formed all of the best, and particularly those first two Oasis albums, and to a lesser extent the third. But they always knew how to put a really good melody together, and I think Champagne Supernova sums up probably the softer side of Oasis and all of those influences put together. Slowly walking down the hall, faster than a cannonball. Where were you while we were getting high? Someday you'll find me, can't breathe the landslide. In a champagne supernova in the sky. So many good songs on that album. Don't Look Back in Anger, some might say. Cast No Shadow, She's Electric, Morning Glory, on and on and on. Yeah,
the list
goes. It's fantastic stuff.
But that's not enough for you, because you love the B-sides of the singles too.
And it's not even just because I'm a musical nerd, which obviously I am.
Obviously.
But there was, like, in fairness to Oasis, they always want to do that, even though we're into the land of the CD single now, by the time we're in the 90s. So you can have pretty much infinite numbers. So every single can really be an EP. You can have four or five tracks on it. But as to whether this was a compromise between Noel and Liam or whatever, they just wanted to try out more songs, they would put huge amounts of work into their B-sides, to the point where they went and eventually released an album of their B-sides, because people wanted that so much. People would go and buy the singles.
Yeah.
They'd buy different versions of the singles just so they could get some
of
these
we'll
B-sides.
Indulge you now. We'll play the B-side to Wonderwall. This is The Master Plan.
Life on the
have to agree with you. It's not bad.
See. Thank you for indulging me.
Let's jump on. We had the great successes, brilliant albums, even the B-sides, we can see that. Where did it all end up? When did the split come?
Well, this is the thing. For so many bands in the world, what would be brilliant would be if they released the three good albums and then had the sense to stop. But it's so difficult to know where it is that you stop. So they continued on. There was a sort of a break, and then they did Standing on the Shoulders of Giants. And they were continuing to tour and release and be quite successful. But the sniping was getting to be more than the music. And people, when they were going to Oasis gigs, they were really going to hear the really, really great songs from those albums. And I think the pressure then started to build and build and build. And eventually they got to 2009. They were on a tour, and the tour had been fractious all the way through. And then they played a gig in Paris. And after that gig in Paris, there was more verbals, more of an altercation. The story went that a plum was thrown at Noel Gallagher's head, you know. And then I think Noel went...
Unforgivable.
Yeah, I know. But I think then Noel then went to retaliate by throwing a guitar at Liam's head.
Yeah.
And at that point, he released a statement the next day to say, "I'm sad and relieved to tell you that I have quit Oasis." Mm-hmm. And that's what happened.
And we're still waiting for them to get back together.
And they will.
Never say, I think they will.
And it's as sure as night follows day, they'll get back together.
Simon, thank you so much. Simon Marr, founder of 8radio.com. That's it for today. Thank you for listening. Catch up on anything you might have missed on the RT Radio app. The programme was produced by Deirdre Lyon, researched by Kieran Dunn, our broadcast coordinator Jarlath Holland, and Tommy O'Sullivan on sound. And now we head over to Louise.